Our gospel lesson comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. By the time Jesus died on Friday, the sun had gone down, which meant that the Jewish Sabbath had begun. They only had time to wrap Jesus' body in white cloth in the tomb, so the soonest Mary Magdalene could come back was on Sunday morning. Now, 2 days earlier, she saw the hope of the world crucified on the cross. It probably took every fiber of her being to wake up that morning, and each step she took to the tomb added to her anxiety and pain and defeat. If you've ever felt the sting of death, you know how she feels. Death isn't easy for any of us. She finally arrives early in the morning to prepare Jesus' body for burial. But when she arrives, the tomb is open and Christ's body is missing. Now, most of us know the end of the story, but for Mary, this is a cruel joke. And while Easter lands on April Fool's Day today, she's not amused. Somehow, when she didn't think it could get any worse, it just did. In a panic, she runs and tells the disciples, and they come, but they can't fix it. And she starts crying. She's right there at the tomb, and she's weeping. Now, I know it's Easter, and many of us are excited and happy for this day to come, but I would imagine if you peel away some of those layers, most would discover we feel at times much like Mary Magdalene. The only difference is we're very good at fooling people. Somehow we're good at fooling people on Facebook or social media. Even when we greet one another at work or at church, maybe we're even fooling ourselves. But God knows the truth. There are many things that take a toll on us these days. As a country, it seems like things have gone spiraling down. Politicians are in the business of spinning stories. Even after the shooting in Florida, folks here in Jacksonville, students and parents, were entangled in a frenzy for our kids' safety. Your pastor and elders just attended an active shooter seminar in town because no place is sacred or off limits. Many are still uneasy. Women, minorities, the poor were told long ago to push hope aside. While hope is beginning to emerge for some, it still seems like an empty tomb kind of situation. I don't know about you, but the things that seem to wear me down the most these days are cancer and illness. Either in us or someone who's close to us, we often wonder why God lets this happen. Or the death of someone close to us. Somehow we thought the pain would go away by now, but we still ache. Or a strained relationship with a child or a parent or a spouse. We try to bury our feelings so deep, but they keep tugging at us late in the night. For Mary Magdalene that morning, it was the death of Christ and his body missing from that tomb. When she thinks things are at their worst, all hope is lost, she lets down her guard and she shares her gut-wrenching pain with a stranger, a gardener. But God finds a way to fool her. She witnessed Christ crucified on the cross. She went to the empty tomb, and now the gardener calls her by name, Mary. And she sees Christ alive for the first time. God fools Mary in the garden. The hope that was once crushed that morning is now alive more than ever. Christian author Charles Henderson tells a story of a 7-year-old boy. He was stricken with a fatal, ferocious, and fast-growing cancer. He'd been treated at Memorial Sloan Kettering with every sort of therapy known to science, but nothing further could be done. As the doctors and parents had finally come to this conclusion, the boy speaks up in a clear, crisp voice. "Well, what I really want to do is go home and learn how to ride my 2-wheeler. The bicycle had been a Christmas present. It had those little training wheels attached to it, but before the boy had gained enough confidence to remove those training wheels, the cancer caught up with him and he was sent to the hospital. So learning how to ride a 2-wheeler was the last thing the doctors would have suggested. It just didn't seem possible. The boy was certainly too weak. Why encourage him to do something like that, even if he could succeed? But the boy insisted, and the resistance of the doctors and his parents melted away under the withering assurance of his clear brown eyes, and home they went. Not 30 minutes after they settled in, they were out in the yard. The boy insisted that his father take off the training wheels and let him have a go at it. To their surprise, after only 2 false starts and 1 fall, the boy was able to steer the bike, somewhat erratically, to be sure. "And now," he said with mounting assurance in his voice, "now I want to ride it by myself all the way around the block." And before anyone could stop him, he was off, up the street and around the corner, out of sight. There were a few minutes of suspense as the parents, brother, and little sister waited for him to appear at the other end of the block. And after what seemed like an eternity, there he was, on his 2-wheeler. heading home with a giant expression of triumph and satisfaction. He was doing it. You could tell he was on top of the world. When the excitement had finally settled down, he had his father bring the shiny blue bike into his bedroom and asked if he could be left alone with his little sister. The bike was a gleaming symbol of hope in the corner of his bedroom. And the boy turned to his little sister and said to her, "I won't be needing the bicycle anymore. I want you to have it for your birthday. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did." Henderson sums up the story by saying, "From under the shadow of death, there comes the hope of resurrection." None of the failed medicine could give them the hope like that bicycle did. None of the memories in the hospital could remind them that hope is alive. But when the boy comes riding around the block, all they could see was hope for the first time in a very long time. And this bike is now a symbol of hope for his little sister and his entire family. God fools Mary Magdalene, and God fools us right here in the garden. It is Christ who calls each of us by name, and it's in this moment when we discover that hope never dies. Isaiah 25 says, "God will swallow up death forever. God will wipe away the tears from all faces." And for us, it doesn't mean that those things don't matter or don't hurt. But we have something greater, some greater hope. For us, when things are difficult, when things aren't going our way, hope is still alive because we put our trust in something bigger than politics, bigger than the economy, bigger than ourselves, bigger than our loved ones and our relationships. And we have a powerful symbol of hope right there. Our hope is an empty cross. And it reminds us that Christ doesn't stay on that cross. It reminds us that Christ meets Mary Magdalene in the garden, and when she thought hope was crushed and dead, hope called her by name and is now alive. And while many of us might be fooling folks, fooling even ourselves today, we're reminded here on Easter that that cross is empty because Christ is alive. It's empty because hope is still alive. And I know it exists here in Jacksonville because I witnessed a symbol of hope this September at our church. It was when we were celebrating our church's 190th anniversary. As I said in the children's message, the butterfly is an ancient Christian symbol. Following worship that day, our church family all gathered in the courtyard with the bell tower in the background. There were children and adults giddy to release more than 80 monarch butterflies. Imagine, 190 years ago, 12 men and women who started this church, and then generation after generation, all culminating in this moment. And then on this day, we release those butterflies into the sky, into the unknown. But I knew, along with our church family, in that moment, we were releasing the hope of the resurrection into the world, which is bright and exciting and powerful and will continue forever and ever and ever. So when life gets us down like it did for Mary early that morning, when life gets us down like the boy in the hospital, we must be reminded that hope is alive. Every time we see an empty cross or a butterfly, they're more than just a symbol. They forever remind us of a future, one that's filled with the hope of Christ's resurrection. Alleluia, Christ is alive. Alleluia. And amen.